Okay. My name is René Meissner. Ich bin.
My name is René Meissner, and I am since I'm working as a web analyst. I'm helping out firm networks, companies like VW and McDonald's. What data should be taken, and what can you answer with it? Here's someone who always tries to walk along the line of what useful data is and what unuseful data is. And my word on the companies is usually you need some customers who don't get the idea of just taking the data they need and not too many. About 2 months ago, Spreeblick had an initiative about the openness and what kind of data Spreeblick uses by using plugins or widgets from Twitter, Facebook, and so on. And Johnny Häusler was really surprised about so many users commented on the thing, whether they should save themselves by scripts or something. And he was a little pissed off about earning money with it, and he committed to not to like all this data collection thing, and he decided not to raise so much data, and he he switched the buttons to an opt-in, where you have to, where you don't have the situation that's collecting the data at once. And the question is, what use do the data have? And you have a number, 0.3% of the German GDP. Are taken by surfing, and this splits into three groups: the classic advertisement, and they have about 35%, and there are 2 billion search engines, in a kind of gray area with 300 million affiliate networks and so on. So this basically means when you have the VW data, you have a value of about 2 cents per click that the publisher earns by having a page viewed and to have advertisements on it and that people click on it. And the Bild, for example, have about 10% of the income, so it's about 40 million during the year. Axel Springer uses Zanox, one of the biggest German affiliate networks, and Spiegel Online has about 140 million visits, so it's single visits. One of the biggest things on the place. Every user serves for about 40 cents per day. He uses about 2 hours for this, according to ZDF, so he has the price of 18 cents per hour. Especially in special interests like Vogel Verlag, that works a lot with machine constructing. One single user profile makes about 15 euros. So in that case, as soon as a user has the access to special data, the white paper offerer has the complete data, including the email address and everything, and pays about 15 euros for that to the company house.
Finally, the question is, What kind of data is it that's valuable? And first of all, let's step away from the technical aspect for a moment and let's have a look from the perspective of the advertisement customers. What does it mean that data is valuable? Basically, the more revenue a single product generates, the more value the user data has. So an advertisement for a candy bar, for example, is a pretty simple form of advertisement. The customer is supposed to remember the name of the product. And on the other hand, an advertisement for a car or for other high-valued goods. So you basically can say, wherever there are sales guys involved, you can usually say that the customer data has a high value. So whenever it pays to hire a salesman, the data has a high value. So the speaker is complaining that he's seeing only half the comments on his laptop there. But basically, the higher the value of a single product is, the higher the value of the data that is transferred from one firm to another is. And it doesn't matter if it's if the data is transferred legally or not, because that is not of primary interest right now. So the next question is, what kind of product is it? Is it a single purchase, or is it some sort of contract that has that goes on for a certain amount of time? So, for example, for a cell phone or something like that, then there's higher interest, and there are profiles of the customers involved. Means companies are interested. Is this a customer that matches our company philosophy and is of value to us? So the more interaction there is with the user, the more value has the data of the value has. So whenever we can get the user to order a newsletter or submit his email address for a newsletter, and do more than just watch an advertisement, for example, play a game, then the data of that user will get more value, because I have the proof that the user is actually active, and I can tell the boss of marketing, we have a certain number of users who spend a certain amount of time on our website, for example. And the user have interacted with your brand name a certain number of times. And because the user interacts, the profiles get better and better. So it becomes very clear which things the user prefers and the social connections of a given user. And there are certain keywords that we have to differentiate. There are three things that are used in contact, conversion, and the generation of leads, which means that I know the user and all his contact data. But the more value the data of a user has, the more I operate in a gray area. Basically, in a database, and this is valid for all big customer relationship management tools, in the end, I will have a very clear profile of a single user. And even if I scramble, for example, IP addresses, I will be able to get value out of this data using external tools. And we're operating in a gray area here because, for example, everybody knows things like redirections. A user clicks on a certain link and he is redirected. And the browser takes a few seconds and goes from one page to the next, loads a handful of URLs, and while this is happening, in the majority of cases, I already have a handful of cookies from different advertisement companies.
des Shops, Zalando, sonst irgendwas darüber streiten, wer jetzt eigentlich dazu geführt hat, dass am Ende was gekauft wurde.
And those companies will basically argue with each other what led to the customer making a purchase, for example.
Nach meinem eigenen Empfinden und vor allen Dingen nach meiner Kenntnis glaube, dass sich alle Anbieter, die sich in dem Markt tummeln,
and according to my experience, pretty much all the companies who operate in that area operate not within the limits of German law. But more about that in a minute.
So the question is, how does the user actually pay for his or with his own data? I don't have to go into too much technical detail here, I suppose, but about talking about individual cookies and the like. The history is, the story is pretty clear. There are the web bugs and there are cookies, flash cookies, and so on. And in fact, the thing is that especially when a separate department for data mining or a data warehouse exists in the company, sooner or later, as a web analyst, you will be asked whether they can work with, whether you can work with shared objects, whether you're capable of doing that. Personally, I would always reject such a request, but in principle, I would only use cookies, and in most cases, it's all about page impressions anyway, and for that, cookies, of course, are completely useless as well. The basic problem yesterday was that the publishers are getting paid by views, and what they're interested in, logically, is that as many users as possible are there, as many users as possible clear their cookies, because that will generate more unique visitors, and that actually is the currency that, in most cases, is getting paid. Whether that's 10 cents or 3 cents, it doesn't matter. If as many people as possible per month or per day clear their cookies, then suddenly you have more unique visitors, more than perhaps Germany has. And if you look at Volkswagen figures, for example, you would think that everyone in this room was reading the Bild-Zeitung, Germany's largest paper, but a tabloid, and that surely is not the case. Now, today, times are a bit different. The issue of clearing cookies is actually an obstacle these days, because the suppliers these days earn money by targeting. Targeting ads is the cash cow for companies such as, well, the main companies and the publishers still care about having as many unique visitors as possible, but in the future and today, the targeters will only look towards finding out as exactly as possible who these visitors are, because that's how it works. And what's also involved in this topic is fingerprinting. Personally, I have not noticed fingerprints being used. That is fingerprinting in the browser via the list of installed fonts and plugins and so on, finding out whether the same user is revisiting. Question and interruption from the audience. Banks use this, and in such circumstances, for security reasons, that actually does make sense. I would just like to briefly introduce the technologies that we have and will deal with in the future. There is the cookie selection. And this is about dealing with the issue of cookies getting cleared. Imagine you're visiting a page with a browser which you haven't visited before, but you have a tag there from some supplier that recognizes a cookie. And this ID and profile data is then exchanged between the two web content suppliers. And if I revisit that page at a later stage and imagine it's a shoe shop, and I find some ads from that shoe shop, I will get a new idea, but in the background, these will then be synchronized and the information is getting exchanged, and this then gets you around selectively cleared cookies. Profiles could be registered across different devices, and because it is a problem that people are surfing with more than one device. They are at work, they are using their home PC, their laptop, tablet, mobile devices, and next month it will be their Apple TV. So the question is, how can I get these profiles linked? And the most important tool for that these days is a newsletter. The newsletter, the fact that many people, that all suppliers offer newsletters, is not because they have such great content in those. No one reads newsletters, well, not quite, but most people don't really read newsletters. They delete them immediately, but still use mail clients that do a preview. And at the time that preview is generated, the supplier knows the device ID. It knows here is a user with one of three devices who got online. And if I can get the user to click on a voucher or a giveaway or something, then I actually have the connection to the browser. And in principle, then I have a cross-device profile that the unique visitor suddenly has become a really unique visitor across devices.
There's an example. So there's DC Storm that uses this technique, and it's really, really happy with it. The next thing is that's really important right now, and that's going to come up soon, is app tracking. With apps, it's the same with newsletters, that the publishers are building apps, and it's also one reason that they can cross-device information and cross-device tracking in one app. For example, in Omniture, there are thousands of services for app tracking. You have one UDID, and there's one special ID that's not on another device, so you can be sure about it, and really, really good. And in most apps, there's an OAuth service or something else, an authenticating service, and you can say, you can can check it with the server, and you have the connection. And in most apps, you usually have a web view where you can also track and connect things, especially in devices, not in iOS, but Android, but they usually use the same data and the same shared objects. Via URL parameters, you get some with a special scheme, and you have a newsletter. And in case you click here and you have the app and you can install it, then there are special parameters in there, and you can get to and fro canal. You can get it from the web and to the App Store, and via the App Store and the app back to the device and the web. The next thing is the network operator, and it might sound a little weird. I was a little surprised about to see this mobile enabling business is so strong right now. I was always a little surprised about, you know, have built the E or some other pages, and they had the idea to say, we want the web stick or special network offer. From my point of view, there's no sense for them to make that, because that's not their core thing. They are not really a network operator until you think about the thing that there are additional data that you could use for advertisements, for example. You can build mobile, for example, they use Vodafone. And that's the basic operator, and you can have a connection between the telecom contract, which is the only serious system to have payments. You can put the connections to the offering. There's no question how you can pay that, and you can just connect that. Important companies are NetBiscuits. They usually made proxies. For example, at Bild.de, and they have mobile offerings. And when you just look at what they are actually transmitting and what's on the NetBiscuit server, you can see that they also use the phone numbers, for example. And that's an extract from the log. You have the complete number, which means that a customer that Bild.de has the phone number, which has it anyway because you have Bild Mobile. Bild Mobile uses the data that safely, that they sell it to third-party companies. If you search for something like Bild Mobile, which is actually a successor of Yamba.de. Yeah, you can, with this contract, if you open this page with a Bob Mobile contract, for example, then there's not the field where you have to put in your mobile number or something to download something, but there's only the option to click to download, and in that moment they've set up a contract with Bob Mobile.
Das ist relativ häufig offensichtlich passiert.
Which happens a lot, actually.
Wenn man sich jetzt zum Beispiel anguckt, facebook.com.
So, for example, if we have a look at facebook.com, it's not possible to go to that site from a mobile network. So why is that? It's a normal mobile page. The only thing it skips is displaying the pictures. Otherwise than that, it's just a simple client. You can only access it if Facebook has made an arrangement with your mobile operator, and which means that your telephone number is transmitted. And now we can understand why it's only possible to access that site when you have a contract with operators like ePlus or Blau.de. And those are the technologies that are used today in order to gather data. So cookies are very important. The shared objects will become very important in the future because it allows you to cross-reference devices. And it's also a very important part of this picture is the apps and newsletters. So my experience is that most of the data that is gathered is not really necessary. And the bosses of the marketing departments, they say it's better to get as much data as possible from a user because they don't know what questions may arise in the future, and they hope they will be able to answer all upcoming questions with the data that they already have. And this fact leads to the situation where data is actually much too cheap today because it's too easy to collect it. So, for example, in the US, the advertisement companies are not happy that in the Safari browser, by default, third-party cookies are blocked. which means that a lot of tools from these companies are not fully functional, and this severely limits the possibilities of the advertisement companies, and they put a lot of pressure on Apple. And as a matter of fact, I'm not really sure why Apple is doing that, but looks like they are on the side of the customer in this case. So gathering data is a really easy thing to do. And when you look at what a user can do to prevent the collection of data, then it turns out that we have a lot of tools that don't really make sense. Back in 1999, there was a thing called P3P. It came from IBM. It was some sort of XML tag that you could use to describe what data was being collected and if it was transferred to third parties and why. And browsers like the Internet Explorer used that and used it to inform the user which data was collected. And it displayed a little icon in the corner of the browser window and was informing the user, but the user was just told that data was being collected, but he did not have the option to opt out there. And at about the same time, there was another initiative
in America, auf jeden Fall, aber auch darüber hinaus vertreten.
And they used a nice procedure where you had to accept one cookie first in order to not get any more cookies later, which is pretty senseless for an opt-out mechanism. So they speculate that the users are lazy and dumb and forget about things rather quickly.
And the moment I delete my cookies, I've also deleted them, and everything starts again. So similar to that is it is with NoTrack from Mozilla, where DoNoTrack is very deeply hidden within the settings. It's a little better in the current Firefox versions, and it sends HTTP header, DNT, and if it's set to 1, vendors are asked to turn off tracking, advertising, retargeting, etc., turn off the saving of that data. The largest tracking company at the moment is Google Analytics, with about 50% market share in all sites, or at least all page impressions. Google Analytics is part of that initiative, and it doesn't. All these procedures don't work because Google doesn't support DoNoTrack, and Adobe is also not really taking part in this. Opt-out procedures are sort of mechanisms that give companies a justification that users have their power and are. And should give them some sort of feeling of security, but in the fact that the only sensible procedure is an opt-in procedure. So if you have a look at a company like NugAd, if you don't know it, it's a company from Berlin. It's been bought by the German Postal Service, and generally speaking, NugAd is represented on very many sites and generates a perpetual profile of user behavior, and NugAd has already got a certificate by the person responsible for the data protection in Germany that they are handling your data responsibly. So it doesn't say, it says what I have viewed at some point in time. And if I go to build.de, for example, and they use NugAd and Google Analytics or WebTrack and so on, which is quite funny because Google Analytics is there too, and also, which is funny because Google Analytics is by Google and WebTrack is by Axel Springer, who who runs Build. So they seem to be interested in more data. So Nugget has a look at the contents of the site, for example, when the user visits it and makes a schema and analyzes that data and creates reports for depending on some sorts of criteria, and these preferred information are sent to Nugget and are added to my profile. If I don't delete my cookie do anything else with my browser, and possibly have the Build DE app on my iPhone, then where the same advertisement is in there. It is linked to all the other profiles and maybe other companies that are customers of Nugget. Other companies are Winloop, Telecom, maybe, etc. So in this moment that when I look at the website, Build DE, for example, so Build receives about 70 cents for 1,000 praise impressions, but Nugget has received an more important knowledge. So the longer Nugget and other targeters can watch me and surveil me, they are generating a profile that is much more worth. And Wunderloop, for example, said after 3 clicks they sort of know which click I'm going to do next, so they are so they basically can say I know the user, and they can say what this person is going to do. So Nugget is paying for that to Build, or their customers are paying to that, and the data that have been received by Nugget are getting better and better and more qualified, and lead to the more precision within Nugget.
I also want to look at the topic targeting and retargeting, both of which should be relatively clear. Looking at the profile of the user, I can make educated guesses what the user is interested in. If I'm on sports pages, there's a high likelihood that Sky commercials will be delivered. And the probability of the click is predictable with the targeting of 3% is the standard. Retargeting, if I look at a shoe store, I will be provided with shoe commercials for the next 14 days. Retargeting causes.
So there are cases where people are looking at shoes for 14 days after the first time they look at shoe store. So that's when retargeting doesn't really work out. So there's another point, and that's the so-called behavioral targeting. So that means the content on many pages is explicitly modified based on the user's profile. So, and this is one of the largest largest profits to be expected in the future. So normally when I go to a normal site, some TV program listing or something, so normally I have like about 50 links there. So the links that are there, they fight for attention with my trigger finger that wants to close the window, and one of those 50 links I'm most likely to click on. So when I do retargeting based on the user profile, I can modify the content in a way so that there will be click rates of about 30% onto the Google AdSense in comparison to Google AdSense. So there will be fewer links, more links, even though they look different, lead to the same offers. And if you have the Google salespeople from Hamburg over to visit, they're all swooning about click rates of about 30% upwards. And then when you know that a common insurance, clicks on insurance ads are about €3 per click, you can imagine how much the publishers are trying to get this retargeting on their sites. So from the perspective of the user, this is a complete catastrophe because they don't actually see any proper content anymore. They only see the results of some retargeting algorithms. So in principle, that was it. That's the end of my talk. And I'd be available for questions now. My contact data is on the slides. So if there are any questions, please ask them now. First question. Why did you mention Google so relatively little? The answer is because Google in Germany is, of course, the market leader. Looking at the 2 billion that are invested in search engine marketing each year, then it's obvious that most of this 2 billion go to Google. And specific topics like keyword search, so which means that the AdWords ads are automatically generated from the search string from the user. Or in case you get something like comparable or related search, related profiles, related sites. So when I search for something, I click on a result. And that moment Google is looking at other users' data that clicked on similar things with a similar profile. And then repositions the paid links, the sponsored links, in a way that makes it more likely for me to click. So I myself, I'm rather torn on the topic of search engine marketing because there's many topics where there's many areas where it really works and where it's also useful from the perspective of the user. For example, seminars. These are things that you just don't want to gather from long organic search results. So this is where search engine marketing is useful. Another question from the internet. Multiple users want to know how they can act privately on the internet and how they can protect themselves from this data. I myself am not very careful about deleting my cookies because I reject third-party cookies in general, and because, of course, I have to actually do research for the talks and stuff. But I actually think one of the better tools is something like a file cookie, so I can always see what is being tracked, and so I have an option to actually turn it off. Another question from the audience, how exactly are these click prices calculated? So how do customers know how effective their advertising is? How do they figure out whether a click is really worth it? Because they're talking about serious sums here in the end. So in the end, it's a plain market mechanism. So, for example, when I say you should actually have opt-in instead of opt-out, that would absolutely lead to less targeting. But since we have a specific amount of advertising area, it is very clear that, especially considering banners, etc., they don't actually track whether the user has looked at the banner. So they only check whether the banner has been served to the browser, and sometimes the browser is being asked, did you actually show this? And if it's outside of the viewable area over the below the fold, then nobody really cares. So the publishers will not have it in the interest to tell the advertiser that this banner wasn't really visible to the user. So they give out very exaggerated data effectively to the customers, which is also what leads to the rather low price at the moment. So when Bild.de with 100 million visits per month and is 40 million euros per year, or maybe 50 million per year in advertising revenue, then that means that's relatively little, especially considering how big their online advertising sections are. So at the moment, there's just way too many publishers on the market to actually get reasonable pricing. So because the prices are so low, there's an inflation of advertisement, and that's why the pages on the majority of cases just look very ugly and overloaded and have long loading times, etc.
In what sense are there possibilities to build profiles apart from those kind of cookies? For example, from the browser identification, from geolocation, from IP addresses, etc. So, in which sense even will people even be tracked where they have set everything to off? So yeah, the companies will go down, have a problem then, but no one will care. So it was basically like Nielsen ratings for TV viewers. Everybody knows that these numbers are fabricated, but still they all rely on them. So for example, someone noticed that three teachers have to be part of a panel in North Rhine-Westphalia because during holidays the viewing numbers of a certain TV station went down. So so these things are benchmarks, and there are benchmark between certain publishers, which is a difference to tools that calculate for themselves, and also that are also integrated with tools by the actual customers. So if a calf manufacturer posts an advertisement on Spiegel.de, for example, you can also there will also be probably a tracking code by the manufacturer themselves. So for example, I was astonished that a certain advertisement company asked me for our own tracking code, and I was astonished that they actually wanted that and added that too. Would it make sense to make inquiries, for example, with scoring, what's happening with scoring agencies? Would it make sense to make inquiries with these companies as a customer? Answer is, I think it would make sense, but I haven't tried that myself or thought about that service. Probably it would be very interesting to ask Nugget, for example. I think they even offer that, and Google offers that with a privacy dashboard, and I think that would be a basic demand from those companies that you are able to do this. But in general, this is an opt-out thing, so I think it's not the best idea to demand this instead of an opt-in. Would I assume that IP addresses don't really play a role, and it's more or less going via cookies all the time?
Yes, answer, that is the case. IP addresses are used for geolocation but for localization, but rather not for the traffic.
So I have been for 15 years, or I have heard for 15 years that IP addresses have to be anonymized. I have for 15 years now, and I have not seen one log file that works this way. The standard Apache log file saves the IP addresses, and it works this way. And I see so many people here that are responsible with a high probability responsible for so many web servers, and I would like to ask them to go into their own Apache config and at least delete the IP addresses from log files, or deactivate the log files themselves. And the standard argument for log files is that they make attacks more visible. That's not true, because as soon as the server load is high enough, you can't look at the log files anyway, so it doesn't make really sense. Questions? Do you know a case of a citizen that do you know a case where this? Sorry, the question is hard to understand. What situation would there have to be in the future that people shouldn't be afraid of targeting and retargeting and so on? My answer is quite simple. It would be opt-in, and I'm pretty sure that as soon as the European Union has enacted a directive, that I would have to ask the users whether I am allowed to save their statistics and data. I am convinced that this has to come, and it shouldn't be a problem at all for Nugget and other companies like that, because they can make loads and loads of programs that make it easy for users to do this opt-in, can play games and so on. And I think this opt-in should come, and it must come, and it's only the chance for that to work.
So another short question about the GFK panel. There's a nice movie about this, where people manipulate the GFK feedback boxes and manipulate the entire German TV program. So my question would be whether there is a tool that does cookie sharing, so we can all claim to be I claim to be the same person. And so I start my web browser, and I get the cookie from somebody, get a profile from somebody else, surf with it, and then close my browser, upload the profile, and somebody else can then download the profile and keep on using it. And this way we can completely mess up their data. The answer is I don't know of any such tool, but it should be rather easy to build. To applause and laughter from the audience. So there used to be a scrambler or something for Firefox that just generated pseudo IDs, which of course confuses the servers when they find IDs they don't know, they never actually generated, which is kind of funny. But I think it's a good idea to build some sort of service, some sort of peer-to-peer system where you can actually exchange cookies, profiles, and you could go and pick your cookies. Like, do you have any cookies for a post-privacy profile or for female interests? And that would be fun. A question from the internet. There's a question if you can just turn off cookies in your browser and JavaScript too, and see what happens then.
Nochmal die Frage, jetzt habe ich vergessen.
Okay, could you repeat the question, please? The question from the chat. If you just turn off cookies in JavaScript in your browser, is that a way out of the dilemma? And the answer is, in principle, yes, but the problem is that that makes surfing really unflexible. So in the end, it's really, it's actually possible. And of course, there's lots of people, even in the advertising agencies, that have their own buttons for disable JavaScript, disable cookies. But in effect, you shouldn't fool yourself, because John Doe is not going to use these tools. So John Doe is not going to actually do this. In the previous question, actually, talked about different European Union directives. So the question is, what is the...
What is possible in Germany? What does the law allow in Germany? Is that controlled by anyone, checked by anyone? My impression is that with IP addresses, with the former Secretary of Justice, had problems deleting the IP addresses in the log file. We have no method to guarantee the protection of privacy. Nugget has been certified by the Data Protection Registrar. This means that no personal data are in those profiles. With Adobe OmniTrack, I can have a look at the raw data and download them. They will not be deleted, and I will be a customer for 10 years, and for those 10 years, I can still access the raw data, and I can create everything from that data. And if I still buy data from other sources and integrate them, I can find out who that actually was. And that's the problem. We have no tool. And even if we have a data protection registrar who looks at Facebook, for example, and asks for the like button to be taken down, because we don't know what it does. Even without a data protection registrar, we don't know what happens with those data. Effectively, the website operator is responsible for dealing with those data responsibly.
Hello?
That was interesting. I have another question, meta question. Your business is consulting to generate statistics. What's your motivation for this talk? You said the customers don't do good things with the data. My motivation is, in 1996, I wrote an article in the CT about cookies. 1 week later, I moved to Berlin, started working at Pixel Park, doing a project for Conrad Electronic, and for the session handling, we could use the cookies. No.
So my motivation is clear. I ask that the users be asked when the data is stored and when it's processed to actually produce value from them. Because my data is worth something, and I tell all my customers that in principle they should always try to not gather any unnecessary data and excess data. And it usually works, and that's quite astonishing, because normally the client says, can you track this and that? And then there's a project manager and a technician and an account manager, and they're all staring at the IT guy, and he's like, yes, you can. And then the customer walks out, and you sit together, and the techie says, well, We could, but maybe we shouldn't do that. Maybe you shouldn't track that. And then the project manager says, but why not? I mean, the customer wants it. So the customer only asked, can you do this? The technician says, yes, we can. And then when I talk to my customers, like for example, McDonald's, I say I want to have opt-in. So then McDonald's normally responds, are you crazy? And then we actually ask the customer, and normally you meet somewhere in the middle, and you compromise on opt-out or opt-in because opt-out because it's too complicated. But actually, most of the customers are open for the suggestion of opt-in. So now I'm currently talking about normal customers. I'm not talking about companies like Nugget or comparables that actually make their money with gathering data. So there the
Daten umzugehen natürlich weise nicht gegeben, weil dann würden sie sparsam
they don't actually have any interest in preventing data gathering because that's against their prime business interest. Question tools we add tools such as Adblock Plus or NoScript.
Ist es nicht. Also es ist, gibt momentan keinerlei vernünftige, valide Zahlen darüber, wie viele Leute dadurch verloren gehen.
So there's currently no actual hard data on how many people use Adblock Plus or NoScript and how many people are thus lost for the tracking industry. So currently the only method you'd have to actually find out about that is two methods. The first is a survey, which doesn't usually work, and the second is trying to get a browser fingerprint and then see if this user has been there before, track them with your browser fingerprint. But that only makes sense when there are sites that have like 5 million users, and it doesn't make sense to put a fingerprinting system on the site otherwise. And it also heavily depends on which sites I actually go to. So if maybe 30% of people come to my website from Facebook and they go back to Facebook and they spend their time on Facebook, then I know that about 100% of those people don't actually delete cookies, because they are so nervous that they actually log into Facebook 20 times a day and spend their time there. And the 10th time a day you have to log in, they probably tell themselves, okay, whatever, maybe I'll just not delete the cookies because it's just too much of a hassle to keep re-logging in all the time. So there's currently no data about this.
I have two questions. So the first one is that there was the info that Apple was planning to to integrate this tracking data into apps and sell all the data they have about the iPhone's user data and sell that to companies. And second one, is there any information about is the contact data and telephone data in a smartphone used in some sort of form for a advertising company? The answer is I don't think so, because the information is not interesting for an advertising company. When I want to generate leads, I want other information, and I don't think that, so from time, if at some time there was the rumors that this would happen, but as people are so sensible, I doubt that this is happening. I already mentioned Adobe, the Adobe system, where you can track online and offline, and in principle this would be possible to me, for example, to read the address book and transmit it to either via hacks or directly via the app. But I doubt this is used at the moment. And Adobe or Amateur don't use this, your web tracking tool. They don't prohibit this, they just don't stop doing it. So a question is, if it's so difficult to turn this off, then it would might be the better idea to give back the earnings for all to all the users. How about that? Indirectly, they're already getting some sort of benefit, because the marketing itself is going, is part of the product cost, and therefore when the product cost gets lower, the customers buy this, who buys this, pay for this, and the online as offline users pay the same price, so the internet platforms are winning on that sense. We have to see and what happens, for example, with Google TV and other TV systems to see what's going to happen there. But effectively, the company value of Nugget is a database, and that's the large problem. There's a huge treasure, and also within Facebook and Google, and no one will forget these data, and these data will be evaluated eventually. And when the market share of, or the company price of Google goes down, the shareholders will ask Google to evaluate these data. For example, insurance companies will be interested in this kind of data, and they will ask Google at some point. There's also another question from the internet. The chat has several questions. What companies are famous, for example, to buy Facebook data, and if wouldn't it be a good idea to create a licensing company, a licensing organization for your personal data? So, I haven't read this yet, that companies, insurance companies, for example, have access to your Facebook data, but I am pretty sure that this will come. And a licensing organization for your personal data might be an interesting idea, but I personally think we just should prevent data from being collected. I have a question. I'm a web publisher myself. And I don't collect these data, but I have experimented with affiliate links, and I have noticed that very many data are are lost, and only about 10% of all the advertisers are actually serious, and with Google AdSense there's much larger conversion rate, and I wonder what's the reason for that, and I think that Google might internally do this retargeting. Do you know anything about that? In principle, I think this all affiliate area is very gray and dark gray. And if you look at these affiliate companies and who is in the on the board of directors and affiliate with these companies, and then you look at these private homepages, then you will see that they often are like up to 500 affiliate links on that. So I think most of them are just spammers, and I wouldn't know why an automatically generated site and that just steals content and just has affiliate links, why this could be trustworthy for users, and why this should leave some sort of added value to the customers. And Google for blocks and filters and so on much more, and also Google is much more interested in the revenue that happens there, and the targeting engine by Google is just simply great, and apart from that, from some sort of crap things that, for example, where there was a school shooting, there were suddenly very inappropriate adverts, and because they make so much sense, many people click there, and it seems to that Google, the people lay very much of their trust in them in Google, and I think Google earns at least as much with double click as they earn with AdSense.
So first I'd like to say I find this discussion really interesting, but we're already 5 minutes over time. So, in order to not drag this out anymore, I'm going to have to ask for the last three questions now. Please. So, question, because you mentioned the... Because you made a point about the falling shares values leading to Google actually selling the data. Do you think that we're already at the point where we lost, or can we still be saved? And the answer is, if we had this cookie peer-to-peer thing, we would still have a good chance to poison the different profiles. And in principle, it's in the US and in Europe, the politicians are just now waking up. That's why we have the European Union directive, and that's why we will probably have that as law in Germany in the near future, no matter how much certain lobbies are acting against it. So politicians have their very own interest, a very strong interest in not having all this data collected in some huge databases, because they might actually want to be chancellor someday, and they can't have it. Can't have Facebook know all these things about themselves one day.
Question about Netfair: does it make sense blocking to block that? And what about the privacy enhancements? Are they useful? The blocking is a good idea in principle. At the moment, most of the networks will then still work. Dynamic applications still work because they know they would exclude too many people if they didn't. There are extensions in Firefox to block referrers. If you click through the, if you right click to open a new tab, there is no referrer. And adblock, of course, does make sense too. So, to protect your privacy. So, I don't use that personally. All I have is a flash blocker because that would bring my computer down otherwise with 20 open tabs. Okay, last question for this evening, please. If I look at the whole discussion, I think that advertising is basically a problem. It gets on your nerves, for one thing, and then all that data collection that's connected to it, all data collection is basically for advertising. And in principle, website operators want the data to earn money. So we're using the advertising to generate money, and that pays for products. Imagine if we had a micropayment system that worked. Could we, with that micropayment system, make advertising obsolete? Well, advertising in principle is based on things that have a market value, and the higher that market value is, the more product you can sell, and the more profit you make in the end, which is easily seen in Apple with 30% margin. No one else in the producing industry is able to do that. I think that micropayment is more sensible for publishers. If you look at newsletters, if you look at podcasts and blogs and the ways they make their 50 cents or something, and the way that drives that quality, then that, it seems, is the way forward. More than the way forward for someone to run their site without advertising. Well, these buttons actually reduce the available space for advertising, which drives up the price for advertising. So I'm reducing the space. So that, I think, is the future for my